Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, and also then 1 John, chapter 3. First, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And then out of 1 John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 17, "But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." A few weeks ago, we talked about rising above the chaos, not only in our own personal lives, but in the world around us, by lifting others around us up, by stopping on the side of the road, so to speak, like the Good Samaritan did and like our friend Kelly McGregor did, and helping others in their time of need, helping others to be the best they can be, lifting them to be the best they can be. Last week, we thought about the last songs of our lives and the legacy that we leave each day with the verses that we write and the impact we will have on those around us in the moments before us, or the impact we won't have on those around us when we pass them by. Thinking about important things in our lives, the fingerprints that we will leave or not in each day of our lives. What if today, we wondered, were our last day? What will we have written on the pages of that day? Is what we are doing important? What will people say about us when we're gone? I remember a few years ago, I got a call from a dear friend wondering if I could have breakfast with him. He was struggling with something. He was struggling with what we're talking about in the last few weeks and today. Successful in business, provided for his family, but he felt he had missed something. Had his life really made a difference, both here and then for eternity? Would anyone remember him because their lives are better? What was a successful life anyway? And was his successful or not? He was still vital, still in good health, but felt like time was running out to live a life of real success, a life of meaning, and he began wondering what that life looked like. Sound familiar? Probably does for some of us. Here's a little quiz, which in some form or another you may have heard before. Listen, and from memory, see how many answers you know. No time to pause on each question, so listen quick. Here you go. 1, name the 5 wealthiest people in the world. 2, name the last 5 Heisman Trophy winners. 3, name the last 5 winners of the Miss America contest. How you doing so far on these? 4, name 10 people who have won the Nobel Peace Prize or the Pulitzer Prize. 5, name the last 6 Academy Award winners for Best Actor or Best Actress. How'd you do? I knew a few, but really I had no idea as to most of them. It would take some time for me to find the answers after doing some research. I couldn't remember those headlines and headliners of yesterday. And when we see the answers, we'll see that these were not second-rate achievers, individuals, teams, or groups. They're some of the best in their fields, and we still couldn't remember them. Why? Why? Because the applause dies, my friends. Awards and stuff tarnishes. Achievements are forgotten. Things break and rust. Money doesn't satisfy. Ballparks are torn down and replaced. accolades, certificates, resumes, and sideline cheers are buried with their owners. So if not those things to signify a successful life, what then does a truly successful life look like? Well, now try this quiz. See how you do. One, list 3 to 5 teachers or coaches who helped you in school. Two, name 3 friends who have helped you through tough times. 3, name 5 people who have taught you something worthwhile. 4, name 2 people who shared Christ and his love for you. 5, think of 5 people you enjoy spending time with. How was that? Easier? Sure. No research needed, right? Just searching your heart and personal memories where all of those remain forever. The lesson? Maybe it's a reminder that when we look at the things the world says are important, we see that trophies tarnish, records are broken, money doesn't satisfy, and championship rings no longer fit. The people who make a difference in our lives aren't the ones with the most credentials, the celebrities, the stars, the athletes, or record setters, those who have the most money or the most trophies and awards. But the ones who make a difference in our lives, who have had an impact on our lives, those whom we can easily call to mind are the ones who cared about us, the ones who sacrificed their lives, their abilities, and their resources to help us, to lift us up without question or requirement. I wonder, then, if we might say that their lives are successful. I wonder if their lives and how they touched ours was what Christ was talking about in the passage from Matthew that we read a moment ago when he said, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." An author, speaker, Napoleon Hill once said, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them." Dear friend James Brown, host of CBS Sports, the NFL Today, and Showtime's Inside the NFL, a founding partner of the Washington Nationals baseball team, a pastor, and always looking to help young adults and youth, and actually children of all ages, any age, he shared this example of the caring love that God calls us to in this passage. Happens to be on page 125 of his wonderful book, Role of a Lifetime, that he wrote with my son, Nathan. Here it is. Having played baseball in the old Negro National League for the Kansas City Monarchs, in 1947, Jackie Robinson became the first black man to play baseball in the major leagues. He played that year and throughout his career for the Brooklyn Dodgers. He was named Rookie of the Year. In 1949, he won the batting championship with a .342 average and was selected the National League's most valuable player. He ended his career with a lifetime .311 batting average, and in 1962 was elected to the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. But Jackie Robinson's life and career were not all glory and awards. Instead, it was one in which he was constantly faced with painful racial slurs and hatred from people with unfounded and deep-seated prejudice toward blacks in general, simply because of the color of their skin. And on one occasion, when Jackie Robinson's team was playing in Cincinnati against the Reds, angry racial taunts during the game reached a deafening level. A white teammate, Pee Wee Reese, the shortstop and a much-respected player among the players and fans, called timeout right during the middle of an inning while his team was on the field. As the crowd began to quiet, wondering what was unfolding before them, Reese slowly walked over to Jackie Robinson at his second base position, put his arm around his shoulder, and stood there silently. It was a wordless, caring, and eloquently powerful message, which said to the now silent crowd, "This man is my friend. This man is my brother." End of passage. It was a great moment, my friends, and a true moment. My friends, as Jesus loved us, he calls us to love, to help and to care for others, to share eternal things with them, Christ's love and Christ's path to their eternity in heaven, to love everyone, family and friends, people we agree with and those we disagree with, the poor, the neglected, discriminated and hated, to let his light shine through us for everyone. A dear friend who I mentioned a few weeks ago, Kelly McGregor, had a wonderful habit that I didn't mention before. Kelly, the former president of the Colorado Rockies Baseball Club, stepped into heaven in 2010, way too early for those of us who loved him that he left behind. Kelly, though, while he was with us, would wake up every morning committed to making a difference in the life of at least one person that day. Sometimes he had that person in mind, other times he didn't. And in the busyness of his day, he was always looking for that moment where he can make a difference in the life of at least one person. That was his overarching mission for every day. And as a result, he impacted many lives for good and often for eternity each day, simply because he cared. A life of success. Perhaps it begins with sharing Christ and then caring for others, reflecting the love of Christ, lifting others around us wherever and whoever they are, without question or pause, until we draw our last breath in this life on earth. Maybe that is a successful life. Maybe that is the life that will be remembered. Let me pray for us. Thanks for the reminder, Lord, once again, and you do it every day. Forgive me. Forgive us for all those lives that we've walked by. Help us to never do it again. Continue to bring them before us, Lord. Folks that we're not comfortable with and folks that we are that are close to us. Help us to never look past anyone again. Continue to bring them to us, Lord. And help us to be who you would be for them, to lift them, to share all that you provided us with them, to make a difference in their life, to care and love for them. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us and with us. In your son's precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.